Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Into the happy hour we go. 5 o'clock for like a few more seconds, and then it's going to be 5:01. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, finishing up. It's Tuesday, correct?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, Tuesday.
Finishing up Tuesday.
I have no excuse to not know the day.
Yeah, no. Why not?
Because I'm not like... When you go to spring training, it's basically the same day over and over and over again.
Groundhog Day!
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
We have to finish our countdown. Scraby has a prize to give away when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to the
All
big
right.
five.
It's going to be really quick because...
Boom, boom.
Number one.
Wrong bet, but you got one of them. You got one of them. Number one, Matthew Stafford being traded by the Rams thing is picking up steam. And some think it's going to happen with Matthew Stafford being given permission to speak with other teams. The reports out of Ramsville, that's what I'm calling it, is they would be okay.
Not a place.
It's a place. If no, Fansville is a place, then Ramsville is a place.
Ramsville is not a place, Gravy, no matter how much you say it. Let's go.
The reports out of Ramsville is they would be okay going into 2025 with Jimmy G as their full-time starting quarterback.
Jimmy G's back.
Tony, if Jimmy G, is he still a starter in the NFL?
I don't think so, but, you know. He has a good head coach over there that may feel differently. And so, listen, if he feels like that, maybe he's been able to help fix him. But, you know, what I remember of Jimmy is he used to feel the pressure that wasn't there a lot of times and just throw that ball up for grabs, which doesn't do well. I think the Stafford time, the Stanford era has...
Stafford era?
Has been good. He got a Super Bowl. He's been, you know, to a few, what, a conference championship, or, you know, he's been to a couple divisional rounds outside of that.
Yeah, he made the playoffs more often than not.
Made the playoffs, yeah. So, I mean, I think it ultimately, you traded your quarterback you had straight up for Stafford, and it's worked to your favor. Detroit's gotten better. They ain't won a title, though, in that time frame, so... Right now, they're the winners. But I think that era was going to always be shorter because he was older mm-hmm. than Goff. And so I think that's how you have to look at the trade, not once he's gone. And so I think Stafford's time to go, and it'll be interesting. Jimmy G, he's certainly cheaper, which is where I assume, which is the reason why they are doing this in the first place.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are paying most of his contract when he signed back in the day. Jimmy G right now is making with the Rams last year. Oh, he's actually an unrestricted free agent, but he made a base of $1 million last year. So if
he was with the Rams last year?
He was, and he actually played in one game for them, the last game of the year, and he threw for 334 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Now, I don't know how much the Seahawks were really playing there, but they ended up winning the game. Jimmy G, though, as a former 49er quarterback, he's had happy feet for years, and he has not looked good for years. If you make Jimmy G, I'm gonna steal this from my friend Annabelle. She's a big Rams fan. If you make Jimmy G your quarterback, you are not a serious team for next season. That's what she would tell me. Because you cannot go into the year as with your starter being Jimmy G. Now, Matthew Stafford is looking for $50 million a year, and I think he should probably get it. But where is he going to get it is the question. We'll see. What if he went back to Detroit? Now, that would be crazy. That would. All right, that's it for the Big Five.
Boom.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go from here, buddy?
Well, let's talk about what happened at the game today with the Padres and the Angels. It was a pitching duel until the end. And Stephen Kolek looked pretty good today, getting his first. Is this his first start of spring, Stephen Kolek?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he looked really good.
And do you think like?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No. I mean, Stephen Kolek is one of those guys that I don't really know what to expect from him this year. I don't know if he's going to contribute.
I don't think anybody does.
With the rotation bullpen.
Remember, he got shut down relatively, I don't know, pretty early in the second half of the season. And, you know, he's had to work through some injury stuff. But clearly this has been something they have been talking about for a little bit, it seems like. He seemed prepared today. And I think it's fair not to know what to expect from Steven. He was up and down at best last year when he was pitching out of the bullpen. So I think it's fair to not really know what you're going to get. I don't think the Padres know what they're going to get, but they certainly are going to give it a shot. But he looked good. Test number one. He passed with flying colors. Morty Holmes, same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1-2-3 inning again. Matsui looked good. You know, there's another big leaguer who pitched. Who was the other big leaguer that pitched today?
Let me go back to the score.
You don't need to. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
But nonetheless, I thought Cole looked good. Manny continues to hit the ball hard. I mean, he ain't seen that many pitches, but he hasn't needed to see that many pitches. He's been on it today.
No,
this spring training.
Yeah, he today 103.1 mile an hour double. Yesterday 103.1 off the bat. His homer on Friday 108.6 off the bat. So Manny's looking good. The Padres did sign a lefty to a minor league deal today, Wes Benjamin. Sam gave us a little breakdown of him a little bit earlier, but another one of these maybe possibly wild cards that the Padres can draw upon at some point this season.
For sure. Chirino was the other. Now, he's not a big leaguer, but, I mean, the fact that he was sandwiched in between Kolick and Mordejon, that may not mean nothing, but it seemed it popped out to me that he was pitching in between those two guys, and he had a good inning. I think in terms of what were you just talking about?
We were talking about Manny. Wes Benjamin.
Wes Benjamin. Yeah, he met in front of his locker today. Seems like a very nice young man, and he's going to have an opportunity as well. The Padres have all of a sudden got but I mentioned this earlier. They've all of a sudden got, you know, options in terms of what it's going to look like. These aren't like the options that, you know, you recognize in terms of their name, but. I think they're in here for a reason. We're going to find out.
Kyle Hart had a backfield simulated game today. I don't really know how that went, but I'm assuming it went fine.
I'll find out tomorrow how it went for sure. I didn't see the backfield stuff today. I watched Mike Schilt in his element today teaching base running. It's not very often that a manager is the one leading the talking points in terms of the drill, especially they were doing contact plays, and he had the whole group gather around him, and you could just see, like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, he lives for. I mean, he's a teacher ultimately, and you don't find too many head coaches, too many managers who are running that specific part of whatever, you
the
know,
drills,
the base running that day.
That is kind of crazy.
You don't base running drills, not usually, but Mike is, I mean, just nose deep, just he's in there just talking to these guys. He's showing them the lead he wants. And, you know, the saying goes in baseball that you learn something new every day at the field. I learned something new today. He had, you know, I don't want to give away any of the tactics, but
his secrets.
He definitely had one on rundowns, you know, contact play. The idea is it's a contact play, so you're going no matter what. But there are times where that contact play is on and it's a hard hit ground to third. They're going to throw you out by a large margin, infield in, say, right? Your job then becomes to stay in the rundown long enough to get to second base. You know, as I said on air today, you know, one of the things you learn as a base runner is you try to keep the distance between you and the defender that has the ball, because once he gets you running full speed one way, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to flip the ball. You're going to be out. And so trying to get that runner from home that may have grounded out to second base is your primary job. And he has some sneaky good things that you can do. And what the objective is at that point. Like, how many seconds do you need to stay in a rundown And you probably got to do it for what's your slowest runner. Like, what does that look like? And, I mean, the curiosity of actually running a drill to see how much time it would take for a runner to get in the right position. Mike is on those kind of things. That's what makes him unique in terms of his style. He's not a guy who played at the big league level, but he's literally grown up in a locker room. He was, you know, the ball boy shining shoes for the Charlotte team back in the day. And that's how he met Victor. That's how he knows Gavin Sheets' father, who played through that organization. He just is it was fun to watch him in his element kind of teaching today. Yes, yeah, but earlier this morning.
That is awesome to hear, because during the season there's going to be a point where, like, don't these guys ever work on base running? And then we could be like, yeah, they worked on it a lot, actually, in spring training. Now, Brandon Lockridge, sure. You know, if there's going to be a day for mistakes, today was a day of mistakes.
He got picked off. Chris on both of those.
Oh, me too. Anytime there's a base running error.
Because I know how annoyed he gets. Yes.
He hates base running errors so much. So it's kind of funny to hear, not funny for Brandon Lockridge, but it's funny to hear after Mike Schilt goes over base running stuff, Brandon Lockridge gets picked off
twice. Now, they were going specifically on contact plays. Neither of those were involved in Brandon's unfortunate mistakes.
Well, you know, as I just said,
a line drive hit to the right side of the field, so you get to see it. With less than two, you know, you can't. You got to wait to see the ball hit ground before you can even think about going.
He also had a base running move when he went from first to third early in the game, and then the catcher Ohapi had to throw, but he beat out the throw.
That was great. That's what I'm saying. He took that extra base, but then he gave it right back when he got doubled off. So.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
He knew it. He was upset. He was upset, especially after the second one. You don't want to be making those mistakes when you are the guy that they're going to look to be, you know, be right.
He's a base running specialist.
Right. He'll get it right. He'll get it right for sure. All right, let's get to break on the other side. I see that Jackson Merrill got some love today, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this.
We'll get into it on the other side, Mark, Gwen, and Chris. Here's some traffic. 619 here in AZ, 519 there in SD. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello, currently en route somewhere.
Yeah, Scraybar, he's going to Air Force. That's where he's going.
His travel schedule is cattywampus over the next 3 days, so you'll get a high dose of Sam Levitt.
Which I think people like.
Who I heard got called out on the show earlier today?
Yeah. Someone on the chat said, is Sam on Bumble right now? Because
now, why would they know that? Was Sam's phone showing
on
the
screen? No. It was a lot of thumb movement, you know, to the right or to the left.
He recognized the pattern.
Oh,
huh?
it's easy to know.
Now, was he actually on Bumble? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, I never found out. Actually, I need to find out if he actually was on Bumble. But
that man was swiping, huh?
Yeah.
Swiping, no swiping.
Swiping is a national pastime at this point.
Apparently so. I've been out the game for quite a bit, so there was no swiping back in the time.
You don't want to swipe, man.
I don't think I want to. I think you're right. I think you're spot on. Jackson Merrill getting some love from our good friend Buster Olney, who put together a top 10 center fielder list. This is in order, as he's kind of really gone through every position to this point. Scrabe, have you seen the list?
I have seen the list.
So you know that Jackson's sitting at number dos.
Yes, which is amazing. I mean, he didn't even, you know, Buster only writes this about it. Well, he wrote that 4 years ago, Jackson Merrill was playing high school baseball in Maryland. Now he is the number two center fielder on Buster Olney's list. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that I'm surprised he's that high, to be honest, because he doesn't have much time in center field. He has one season, but he's just behind Julio Rodriguez. And Sam was saying earlier, he can make the argument that Jackson Merrill could be ahead of Julio Rodriguez for that number one spot. I don't know how you feel about that, but I could see an argument being made for that.
Yeah, I can see an argument for that. I could definitely see an argument for it. I mean, I think Julio is the better defensive center fielder right now. But offensively, yeah, I could definitely see that. And by the way, I don't think defense is factored very much in this top 10. It is mainly offensive things that are being brought up throughout the kind of the little blurbs that Buster did write on them. I like the list. I love Jackson being at two. You know, Jackson has the bar set pretty high for him.
Yes, it is.
And I know he's doing and saying all the right things, but that bar is high. Like, I hope people don't forget this is baseball. It's not a guarantee that those numbers just pop up again. I think he's going to do everything in his power to be there, but there's no guarantee. But he's definitely deserving of the two spot. And you can make the argument one right now, especially if Julio Rodriguez is the number one. I think based off last year, he had a much, much better year than Julio did. I like the list at all, though. I like PCA, as they call him, Pete Crow Armstrong.
I heard that yesterday. His mom is famous, right? Or at least she was an actress.
Is the mom in, I believe, Rookie of the Year?
The mom who goes, float it. And she floats it through the stands.
I think it's Rookie. It's either Rookie of the Year or what's the other?
Little Big League. It's one of the two.
It's one of the two. I think it's Rookie of the Year, though. I think. Pete Crow Armstrong's mom played what was the kid's name in the movie?
Henry Rowan Gardner.
Hey, Rowan Gardner. I think. Oh, it might have been Little Big League. It's one of the two.
It was Little Big League.
It was Little Big League.
Yeah, okay. I just looked up. She was in Little Big League. She played his mom, and she ended up dating the first baseman in Little Big League. And yes, okay. The movie was on a couple weeks ago, people. It's not like
memorized. They play it on the MLB Network quite often when there's no baseball.
So you like PCA?
I like PCA. What I like about him is he came up and he struggled. He went down, and when he came back up, he figured it out. There's actually a clip of him when he got sent down, and I can't remember who they were playing, but they were messing with him. They hit him with the first, so he stole second.
Yep.
He stole third,
yep.
And then he ended up coming home. And, you know, from that point on, he has seemingly turned the corner. He came up to the big leagues, had a great showing in the second half. I like him. I think Brenton Doyle is another really good center fielder, and I think offensively he's starting to figure it out a little bit. Michael Harris, I think they're waiting to see if he can put together a full season, but he's another excellent center fielder. I'm not sure about O'Neill Cruz being on this list, especially at five. I mean, he played, 15 games in center field last year? I mean, it was a late inning. It was a late season switch to move him there. But offensively, again, this dude, I think he consistently has the hardest hit ball in baseball every year.
It's incredible.
He had the hardest at 121.5 last year. 58 extra bases, 22 stolen bases, 23 out of 23, so he's efficient. But he punched out 181 times. So, you know, I want to see more on the offensive side. Byron Buxton, man, when he is healthy, he's at the top of the list at number one. It's just hard for him. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He's relatively young, too, for looking.
I think he's got to be in his 30s.
He's 31.
Now.
He just turned 31 in December. So that is relatively young, but yeah, you're right. He has dealt with a lot of
94 games last year. He missed zero in 23, or in center field. 57 in 22, 60 in 21. That's how many starts he had in center field. So he misses, if he can get out there, doesn't mean he's missed all those games. It just means he was probably DHing in a lot of those other ones. So Cody Bellinger, I don't know about him.
Gotta see it first.
He's very hit and miss.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to consistently.
He's a Yankee now, right?
Yeah, Yankee now. Luis Robert Jr. is probably auditioning for the first 3 months of this season. See where he ends up going as the White Sox. I don't think they're going to keep him at this point. Jake McCarthy is an interesting one because at one point he looked like he might be, you know, the truth. And then as it seems like as Carroll started to rise, he kind of fell off the World Series year. But he bounced back very nicely last year. So there's some guys who can go get it for sure.
The Diamondbacks are a team that worries me a lot.
They got a good team, man.
I know.
They got a good team.
They do.
They don't have as much starting pitching as the Dodgers, but their top, I think their first five, you can argue, are better than the Dodgers' first five. With Burns, they're in the same division, fool. They don't help us.
Anytime, you know, I just black out when you say someone's going to beat
clearly.
The Dodgers out.
We're all Dodgers in the same division, dog. So
all right, you're right.
It's not all good.
Zach Gallen, the milkman.
The milkman, exactly. And then Merrill.
Merrill Kelly.
Merrill Kelly.
Is
Whoopi. From said something about Mary.
Is Jordan Montgomery still with the Diamondbacks? He has to be,
no,
right?
I think he peaced out, but they got Eduardo they got Rodriguez.
Yep.
And I think they got another Burns already. I think they got another one too that I'm blanking on. But anyway, they got a good team too.
They do.
This is gonna be a knockdown, drag out National League West.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
it's definitely gonna be fun. So,
all right, let's get to break. Who's our interview of the day?
Marcelo Balboa. He is the analyst for the Spanish-speaking side of the MLS season pass. I could not say MLS season pass to save my life earlier today, so I'll try not to.
We're going to Chris on the other side, and we're back. 5:34 on the clock. Tony Glenn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Zello, and Air Force.
Yes. I guess they have a 11 a.m. game tomorrow in Colorado, which is...
Good old 11 a.m. game.
Early, huh? Which is early for a basketball game.
Dana Taurasi.
Wait. Biggest fan name.
Oh, yes, indeed. Let me pull that up here. Biggest fan. You're in luck because their time has come. Congratulations to David Gonzalez of Lemon Grove. Give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padre game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. All right, David Gonzalez, you're on the clock. Dana Taurasi, as I said, maybe the GOAT of women's hoop, decided to hang it up after 20 seasons in the WNBA. Yes, indeed. Deserving of a round of applause. A champion at every level she ever played.
Wow.
High school, college, WNBA, Olympian. She conquered all. She was a heck of a player. But time, father time, most specifically, still,
undefeated
champion of the world. But heck of a career, Dana Taurasi. I remember meeting her way back when in a club in Arizona.
What? That's so random.
I was in the Arizona Fall League and went out. Dana Taurasi was there. She had just gotten drafted by the Phoenix Mercury at the time. So she was out. She was pretty cool. She was really cool, actually. Kudos to her. Congratulations on a wonderful, wonderful career. There's another one. Lakers. Lakers are in action today. Luka taking on his old team.
I'm looking forward to this.
Los Angeles. I'm not really looking forward to this one. This isn't the one I want to see.
The Dallas.
It's the one in April when Anthony Davis is probably back too in Dallas. Is the one that I think he's going to be looking to send one of those Luka messages.
Oh yeah, I mean that is a must watch game for anyone who is a sports fan.
I think this one in LA is going to be kind of weird for him, right? He's going to be facing his old team in LA. I just think the one in Dallas is going to be the one he's going to be trying to be a killer that night.
Yeah, is Nico Harrison going to... Does he travel with... I wonder if he's going to...
I think he is traveling. I think he is in the building in Los Angeles tonight from what I was hearing this morning. So
that's awkward if they pass each other in the hall. What's up, Luca?
Well, you know, it didn't have to be awkward. I think Dallas... And I don't know this. I don't have this to be fact. But it feels like they responded to the anger of their fan base by trying to make him look crazy. Or trying to make him look, you know, all these excuses. He was a tyrant. He was out of shape.
Yep.
All these things started flooding out shortly after it was found out by Dallas fans, and they were having funerals at the arena.
Yes.
They were clearly upset. And I feel like it seemed like after the trade, the next couple of days, like different stories kept leaking out about him being out of shape and him, you know, being upset that they were firing all the people he liked. And, you know, it's funny. We talk about it often on our show. It's funny how when these relationships don't end the way they should, it's the player is always somehow sullied.
It's true.
In some form. It seems like it happens like clockwork. It doesn't matter who it is. No matter what, when a trade happens and one side is either being, you know, ridiculed or they feel like they need to, this type of stuff comes out. And so I think he'll be looking. He'll have a good game tonight. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to put up numbers, but I think he's going to save the big one for the Dallas at that point. Cause at that point, Anthony Davis will be healthy. So it's like, you know, possibly get him in one of them pick and rolls and do his Luka Doncic thing. So this will be fun tonight though, for sure.
Yeah, you're painting a great picture for April. I am ready for that game because it's a nationally televised game. They're going to make this a big deal.
I don't know if you've gone over this. I would be surprised if you haven't read it yet. Have you seen the story of LeBron and Bronny? Have you seen this?
Yes, but I honestly don't understand it, so I didn't bring it up.
You don't understand.
I don't understand.
I understand this. This seems like a cash grab, right?
Okay.
Here.
No. I agree with you. It does seem like a cash grab because these people were apparently hit by LeBron and Bronny in their car in like 2022, and then the day after Bronny and LeBron play together for the first time in NBA history, they filed a lawsuit, which doesn't make any sense.
And the police have no records of any accidents or any of that happening.
They have literally nothing.
It's not, I mean, they denied each and every claim in this thing. So it was, this was hilarious to me because this is where we are. People, and listen, I will come back on here and be like, you know what? I was wrong. If we find out that Bronny and LeBron actually hit, I promise you I will. But we are 1,000% in a time where people can just like literally make something up out of thin air and then sue for it.
Yeah, that is...
That is crazy.
That is what we live in right now. It's very... Like, you think that you're going to be able to be so smart that you could fake an accident and get away with it? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I hope for their sake that they at least, like, had an encounter. Like, I'm not even saying the car thing has to be accurate. Just at least have been in the presence at some point.
Yes, please. At least some sort of truth be there.
I find it hard to believe that Bronny and LeBron would hit somebody and just take off. Like,
That's what I think in my head. And it's like a comedy where they're like, oh, no. You know, and they just, LeBron just screeches out just down the street.
Screeches out. Like, oh, they won't notice my 6'9 frame and 275 pounds as I drive
in
off
the $350,000 nice car that I'm driving.
Get out of here.
You know, reason I didn't understand is because it's so bad.
It's outrageous.
It seems outrageous. Like there's a catch to it, but there's not.
I avoided reading it until I realized we probably going to need something to talk about. So I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and check this one out. All right, let's.
Dad, you hit her. Get out of here.
let's check some traffic and then get to our interview of the day.
Thanks so much for joining the show, Marcel. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, fellas.
What did you think? I mean, how impressive was it for you to see SDFC come out and beat the defending champs in their house to start their entire franchise?
Being a San Diego State guy and a nomad, it was nice to finally see them on the field in an official game. And to be honest with you, it was nice to see how they played, how they finished the play, how they were able to get a result in the LA Galaxy home. So everything, it's a dream start for San Diego.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. I think tons of people around San Diego felt that way. What stood out to you about the style of play? I mean, it's a group of players that has never played together in an official game. Obviously, they were able to get two goals and a clean sheet as far as holding the Galaxy to zero goals. So what stood out to you in that kind of context about the style of which San Diego FC played?
Oh, I think it's like anything else. The mentality they came out with, I think, is always important. The way they came out, it looked like it's been a team that's been together for a long time. They went out, they pressed, they were able to break the Galaxy trying to play out of the back. They picked a ball in transition, quickly put it in the back of the net. So they created the first 15 minutes. I mean, most teams want to press, and it's difficult sometimes to get the press. They did a nice job. They controlled the first 15, 20 minutes. And everything you would want in a game, they were able to control defensively. They limited Peck. They limited Facundes. They limited the ability of that strong Galaxy offensive side to get in. And when they did, Santos was there. Dos Santos was there. So when you look at this, you look at just one overall wonderful performance. When they had an opportunity to finish the play, they finished the play, put two in the back of the net. And like I said, one game, but for a team that's never really played in an official game in MLS, mm-hmm. It didn't look like they were a new franchise that day.
Well, that's exactly right. Going up there and beating the LA Galaxy, we're talking to Marcelo Balboa, a Major League Soccer analyst here on Apple TV. So, you just said it, one game. It's just one game. It's the first game of the franchise. But what is ahead for an expansion team in MLS? I know that they did the draft. They still have to really start playing together. But what is kind of going to be the hardship this year for this team?
It's consistency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you look at teams that come into this league, no one really gave St. Louis a chance the first year, and they come out and they win the West. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for San Diego, it's about consistency, staying within their own tactics of staying, of knowing your job, doing your job, and doing it well. And again, it's a long season. You've got to be able to grind down. And this franchise, we all know, with the ownership and coach, they're gonna get some reinforcements when the window opens up. You know, when you keep hearing about players, from Europe coming in, we won't say anything about De Bruyne because that's the big rumor out mm-hmm. there. So you need to have an injection at the middle of the year to lead you into that playoff run. So, but right now for this group, it's about doing your job and doing it well, and the mentality of going out and fighting every week, because every week will be different. Every week will be a lot different.
Marcelo, I want to ask you about Anders Dreyer, because I think a lot of us in San Diego yeah. got introduced to Anders for the first time yeah. during that match on Sunday. Obviously, he was up top with Chucky Lozano.
Yeah.
Did a great
yeah.
job. Two goals for Dreyer, historic goals for San Diego FC. What stood out to you about Anders Dreyer in particular, and I suppose that tandem with him and Lozano from an attacking standpoint for San Diego FC?
Well, I think we all know what Chucky can do. We've seen it with the national team. We've seen it in Italy. And then with Dreyer, you're sitting there going, okay, let's see what this kid's got. And I got to be honest with you, his movement off the ball was fantastic. His defending one-on-one was good when he dropped back and he helped the team when they were in a mid-block and a low block. So, and then the vision he has for his passes was very good. And his movement off the ball on that second goal was just ridiculous. Coming in from that ball, first of all, the ball he plays, and he continues to follow the play. He gets the ball back, and the way he's able to open up and just tuck that in with his left foot, there's a lot more to come from him, but everything we saw was just, what you want to see in a player. Work hard defensively and making sure you make the sacrifice to get forward to make your team a little bit more offensive minded.
We're talking to Marcelo Balboa, Apple TV MLS season patch match analyst. Easy for me to say it here on 97.3 The Fan. And Marcelo, we were talking about the state of MLS the other day, and we were kind of just talking about the like where it's at right now and what it needs to grow. And what do you think the state of MLS as a whole is right now? And what do you think that the next step for the league is to grow bigger?
Listen, we're in a great place right now. 30 teams on its 30th season. You know, the important things when we started this in 96, we wanted to make sure there was a foundation. And when you build anything, the foundation is the most important thing. And when you look at this group, this league, the foundation's there. It's going to keep growing. There's people out there, investors who want to invest and see what the future and how bright the future is here in the United States, especially if you own your own venue. You know, you've got soccer specific or entertainment specific stadiums, but the state of soccer right now, look, you got the World Cup of Clubs coming here. You've got Gold Cup this year. They're talking about moving to Champions League, maybe down the road games here. So it's World Cup's right around the corner in 2026. How much better could it get for us? You know what I mean? It's just, we're in a very good point in soccer. Do we need to keep pushing and growing? Yeah, 100%. Do we need to keep spending money on young players and bringing them in and name players to make our franchises bigger and better? Yes, 100%. So, and that's everything we're moving. If you look at the players that have brought this year, you brought in Chucky Lozano in his prime. You know, you brought in Almiron in Atlanta in his prime. You brought him back. So I think the league is in a very good, solid place right now.
Marcelo, moving things forward a little bit. Look, it was obviously very exciting what San Diego FC did on Sunday. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. You know, as an organization, you can have all the marketing and messaging and planning that you want, but nothing can do quite, accomplish what quite like what they did on Sunday, which is winning that kind of match, all the excitement, and now they play their second ever match Saturday against St. Louis City SC. Looking into this club, Marcelo, interesting club, first couple of seasons as a club. Yeah. 2023, they were amazing. 24, not so much. Can you preview St. Louis SC, what kind of matchup this is, and give us a little preview of what we might see Saturday?
No, listen, when you talk about St. Louis, you go back 2 years ago, and they were the best team in the West. They failed at the end of the year. It's a long season, and they fell apart a little bit at the end of the playoffs. But this is a team that does a nice job of playing in a low block. They want you to come. They invite you to come, and they hit you on the counterattack quickly. They're very good on set pieces. And this is a team that's in transition a little bit too, new coach and new players. But this is a team that will come out, and they'll try to hit you quickly on the counterattack. So they're going to invite you to come. They want you to send numbers, and then they'll quickly hit you. On the other hand, this is your home opener.
Mm-hmm.
This is your home opener. Now you've got the pressure, just like the Galaxy. Now you have to defend your home. That's the key now. Winning on the road is difficult, but you win your games at home, and you make the playoffs. So this is a huge game, home opener. The first time the fans are going to be able to see their own team. That pressure gets to players too, so it should be – I mean, it should be a very fun game to watch just because style's a little bit different. You know, San Diego wants to keep possession. They want to work through their lines. They want to build up into the attack quickly. And St. Louis is a team that defends very well in their low block.
Well, that's good. I'm going to be going to the game on Saturday night, so I'm going to go tell everybody what you just told me so I sound very smart and I know where to break it down. Thank you, Marcelo, for that. We're talking to Marcelo Balboa right now, MLS analyst for Apple TV. Last one for me, and it's, I don't know, have you ever been to Snapdragon Stadium or seen it?
I have. I did the U.S. game there.
Okay.
2 years ago for Gold Cup, yes.
My question is, like, that place seems like a perfect place for a professional soccer team to play because the fans are kind of on top of you. There's no real bad seat in the house. How much do fans affect the way a soccer team plays?
Listen, the home fans are always important. You know, the energy, there's a lull in the game, they can pick you up, so having the fans right on top of you. And I remember watching when the U.S. played Panama there. Very, very loud, very vibrant stadium. And, again, the fans are the most important part, because when things are going great, they're there. When they're not going there, they can pump you up. So it's a great stadium, absolutely fantastic stadium. Remember, I played in the old Qualicom with the national team. So it was horrific to play.
Oh, man. it's a cavernous place when it's not all full.
Yeah, exactly. I went to quite a few San Diego State football games there that was not full. So it's nice that that Snapdragon is there. It's a very nice, beautiful venue. And hopefully this weekend it will be sold out.
I hope so, too. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Marcelo. Hopefully we can get you on here in the coming future, but appreciate your time.
I am around, and we'll see you guys. We're there for the San Diego-Columbus game, so we'll see you then.
All right, perfect. Thank you so
much.
Thanks, Marcelo.
Marcelo Balboa.
Nice job. Nice job.
Yeah,
I took the name down, too.
I liked him. Yeah, for sure. Hopefully we get to have him on more often. All right, that's going to do it for our show, but the Scraby Chronicles follows. Should be a fun one. Scraby, have a good night, brother.
Thank you. You
too. As should the rest of San Diego. See you tomorrow.